welcome, a simple word, one of those words which is learned very early on when you're learning a foreign language. When I turned my computer on the other day there and saw that word welcome, and then it fired up and I went onto the internet, I found a website with a page that had 325 languages, 325 ways of saying welcome. And in several Northern European languages, the word welcome sounds very similar. In Danish, it's velkommen. In Swedish, it's valkommen. In German, it's willkommen. In Icelandic, it's welkommen. In Dutch, it's welcome. Sounds the same. In other languages, I'm not even sure how you would pronounce it. In some languages, bienvenue in French, bienvenidos, Spanish, is that right? Something like that. Marhaben in Arabic. Fu ying in Cantonese. Aloha in Hawaiian. Baruch hala in Hebrew. Yokoso in Japanese. Many, many languages. Different ways of saying the same thing. Welcome. I wonder if any of you know what the word welcome in any other languages. Do you know any more? No? If you want the website, I'll tell you where it is later. Many of us, as I said earlier on, have welcome mats. We have mats at the door. We see them in shops, don't we? Welcome, emblazoned on the mats. And that simple word says that we want to communicate a word of welcome and embrace to those who are entering our homes, telling them that they're welcomed. And the word welcome's always associated, isn't it? It's always associated with a special guest. You don't normally, when your husband or your wife comes through the door, say to them, welcome. You might say, welcome home, or good to see you, or what you've been doing all day, where have you been? You don't normally say, come in, welcome. It's normally associated with special guests. The word is a word that we use for others. And we welcome people in many, many different settings, don't we? For example, we see, or perhaps you've experienced, that special welcome at an airport terminal. Just like the end of the film Love Actually, when people come through the gates, and sometimes you see signs up and names are on the signs, and that's a sign to say, this person is waiting for you. They're here to welcome you. Sometimes it's whole families that are welcoming a loved one back after some time overseas, and they're all there, and they've got balloons and streamers and party hats and all sorts of things, just because they're so excited to welcome the person home, whether it's a mum, a dad, a brother, sister, long-lost auntie, whoever it is. I was on an aeroplane once and once experienced that kind of welcome, even before I got off the aeroplane. And the stewardess came up and said, there's a telegram for you. It's waiting at the welcome desk. And it was so exciting. It's never happened again. It's exciting to be welcomed in that way. Loved ones approach, smiles break out, arms open wide, hugs and embraces are shared. Welcomes are sometimes great, great fun. You're glad to see the person, delighted, pleased that they're here, happy, and you have a happy smile, a smile of welcome on your face. Just think of the crowds who gather to welcome the Queen wherever she visits. I don't suppose she is ever late. I think her schedulers would keep her pretty much on time. She may be late occasionally, but pretty much most of the time she's on time. But even if she was late, there would still be a welcoming committee there to greet her. If she came an hour late, they'd still be there. And they'd have big smiles on their face when she arrived there to welcome her. And often there are crowds of people, from a few people to hundreds of men and women and young people, all there, filled with joy and elation that the Queen has arrived. They're there to welcome her. It's always an electric moment. Crowds rush forward when the Queen arrives. And I suppose that in these moments, whatever else is going on in her life, she knows that for that moment, at least, she is wanted and welcomed. She's appreciated. And all of us will have memories about being welcomed or about welcoming other people. And it's with that mood that we approach these three short verses in our gospel reading from Matthew's gospel today, from chapter 10. We're reading Matthew all of this summer, throughout the summer services. We've already read about Matthew being a tax collector, someone who not only collected taxes, but who also collected stories about Jesus. As a tax collector, Matthew was rarely welcomed, but as someone who was with Jesus, he did experience warmth and welcome. And unlike the other disciples, it's theorized that Matthew the tax collector was one who knew how to read and to write and to keep an account, not only of people who'd paid their taxes and who hadn't, but he was an organizer, a gatherer. And Matthew gathered and organized his gospel. He organized Jesus' teachings into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, gathered these teachings together. He organized it in that way. He organized the miracles of Jesus into chapters 8 and 9, into that section of his gospel. And he organized many of Jesus' teachings about discipleship into chapter 10, which we've been reading these past couple of weeks, as well as today. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells us here what he expects of his disciples. His 12 disciples, firstly, are to carry out their mission to preach and to teach and to heal as they go around. And they're to dress simply, and they're to expect persecutions by government and by family. They're to pick up their own crosses and follow Jesus Christ. They're to love God in a way that separates them sometimes from their family and their friends, to love God more than their family and friends. That's a difficult passage for us to understand, except when we maybe understand it in the culture of today, when people who embrace Jesus Christ and take on Christianity from another religion are sometimes ostracized from their families and their friends, sometimes cast out. And in that way, they really do have to love Jesus more than family and friends. Well, today we come to these last three verses in chapter 10 in this teaching about discipleship. And as we read these last three verses, we focus on the word receives, or as it's translated in other English versions of the Bible, welcome. When we hear the word receive or welcome, we hear it six times in these short verses. And we also hear the word reward, and we hear the word reward three times in these three short verses. Let me just paraphrase it, read it in one of the other English translations. It says in the NIV, whoever receives you receives me, but other translations say, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. If you had a pencil, you might sometimes, if you're those people who write on your Bibles, you might circle or underline that word, receive or welcome. It refers to us. It's a word of encouragement and instruction for us, welcome. And there's a word you there as well. Whoever receives you or welcomes you, we might want to underline that word you. Because Jesus was sending these 12 disciples out into what was an unknown situation, and whoever welcomed the disciples welcomed Jesus himself, and whoever welcomes Jesus welcomes the Lord God too. The disciples were being sent out into their mission field, and whoever welcomed them into their homes welcomed Jesus. These first disciples were ambassadors for Christ. The first disciples, they were representatives of Jesus Christ. And whoever welcomed the ambassador, whoever welcomed the representative, welcomed Jesus himself. And we understand that, of course, when we think of ambassadors for a nation. When ambassadors come to this country, they present themselves at the court of St. James. When ambassadors go to the United Nations, they would do something similar. Whoever welcomes the ambassador of a country is welcoming the king or the queen or the president of the nation whom the ambassador represents. And the disciples were ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And whoever welcomed them into their homes were welcoming Jesus himself and the Lord God who had sent him. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of the righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. We circle the word or underline the word reward. It appears twice in this verse and once in the next. And we recall that the Gospel of Matthew likes the word reward. We find it many times in Matthew. 13 times Matthew uses this word reward. John doesn't use the word reward at all. Mark uses it only once. Luke only uses it twice. But Matthew uses it 13 times. It's like one of Matthew's favourite words. It's one of Matthew's favourite concepts, this concept of reward after welcome. As people welcomed the early prophets, the righteous leaders and disciples into their homes, they would be rewarded. They'd be blessed by God for doing so. And when we, you and I, walk in the Lord's ways, we're blessed for doing that. When we give a cup of cold water to the needy, we'll be blessed for doing so. Yes, God will bless us for giving a cup of cold water to those in need, for being generous to the poor, generous to the starving, for being prayerful, for being devout. God will reward us for that. Not in order that we do these things to impress other people or to receive applause from them, but we do it because of the love of God. And God will bless us when we welcome new people, people who are new disciples into our church, this Christian community. And similarly, God will bless us when we welcome anyone into our fellowship of love. When we as human beings walk in the way of the Lord and walk in the ways of God's welcoming generosity, blessings flow from God. Rewards come. God blesses and rewards us for being welcoming people. Jesus went on to say, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose the reward. That cup of cold water to the traveller in the hot, dusty Palestinian land, they would appreciate that cup of cold water. What a treat it would be. What a reception it was to be given a drink of cool water on arrival. It was a great way of being welcomed. It wasn't just a drink, but it was a full cup of cold water. What a way of telling someone they're welcome in your home. Of course, to give a cup of cold water was a symbol of meeting the other person's essential need. The giving of the cup of cold water was a pure gift, a meaningful expression of hospitality, and genuinely welcoming another person into your home or into your community. So what does this teaching about the cup of cold water have to do with our lives 20 centuries later? What is Jesus telling us to do, telling us how to welcome others with the Spirit of Christ? Well, originally in Jesus' day, this teaching was about welcoming the sent disciples into homes. But how does that teaching apply to our lives today? That's an important question for us. But we don't have to welcome travelling teachers and travelling preachers many times into our homes. But it tells us that first impressions are important. A new person or a new guest sizes up the community within minutes about whether or not they're accepted, whether they'll make friends or not, whether this is potentially a friendly community of Christians to come into if they come into our church. And in our story from Matthew's Gospel today, Jesus encourages people to give the cold water, the cup of cold water, as a sign of giving something enormously valuable to the visitor. To give that cup of cold water was to give the special gift to the person who was coming. And what we need to give is love and acceptance. That's the gift that's needed. It comes as a precious gift to folks when they're new and come among us. Love and acceptance is like a cup of cold water to them. The quality of the welcome is a sign a signal, a symbol of what will happen later. If you're welcomed warmly in the first encounter, you can be sure that you might at least be loved and accepted later. This week is the last week of the school term in our schools. And all too soon, the oldest primary children will soon be the youngest secondary school pupils. And no doubt, as they anticipate going to high school, they're hoping that they'll be welcomed, that they'll be received well. For genuine welcoming, friendliness, acceptance by other children in high school is so important to new people coming up from primary 7. And in the same way, it's important when a new child comes into the Sunday school that they're made to feel welcome and part of it. This past week, the church out in the Eastern Expansion have said farewell to their minister, Alan Childs, and his wife, Isti, and their two children, Christy and Murray. They've left Scotland for Alan's new appointment in South Africa. And these two children will be going to a new nursery and a new school. They'll be going to a new Sunday school in a new church. And we might think of Mark 9:37, Jesus' words, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but the one who sent me." Jesus was clear. Welcome is important. When pupils welcome new kids into their class as new friends, they give an example of welcoming others, that we might welcome Christ and God. And when children and adults feel welcome, they feel accepted, they feel that they're significant and they're important. These first impressions that are so crucially important. First impressions of friendliness and openness are a clue, a sign, a signal that there's the possibility of genuine friendship being developed. There are some faith schools in this country and overseas who really do give a cup of cold water to a new pupil when they arrive in the class. They give it as a symbol of welcome. It's not just to give permission to go and use the water fountain when you're thirsty, but it's the symbolic gift of full acceptance, recognition, importance that they're in a class of equals. And it's in this deep sense of acceptance that we discover the drink of fresh cold water being the welcome. Many churches just like our own, run the Alpha course or the Christianity Explored course. And during each of these courses, food is shared often round a table. And there are small group times for discussion and questions and interactions. And if someone feels welcome by people at the meal table, if they feel a great sense of relief and they want to come back to that table, they want to make friends with the people at their table, they want to experience genuine Christian community and love, and they also want to listen, and they want to share, and they want to discuss, and they want to pray. Yes, us human beings, we're wired in that way. We want to be part of genuine, loving, open, welcoming communities. And whenever a group of people welcome someone into their fellowship and friendship pattern, that new person welcomes back and they come back. The power of Christian group friendship is enormously transformative. And of course, we already know that one of the major factors for people coming back after a visit to a church is if they've been made welcome by folks around them, in the pews, in the seats, by church members. They come back especially if they've been visited by someone who's a member of the church that week. Welcome and teaching and worship, they're all important. But the quality of the welcome is perhaps the most important in helping people determine if they want to come and join a particular congregation. What people say in the pews to each other during and after worship is often more important to folks joining a congregation than what a minister says from a pulpit. It's not that what is being preached is unimportant. It's what is said in welcoming that is also very important. Often we as Christians undervalue the power of being a genuine and deep welcoming community. Often too many people who say they're Christians just don't get it about the power of everyday welcome during our worship services. quality of the welcoming is a sign, a signal, a symbol of what happens later. If you're welcomed warmly in your first encounter, you're loved and accepted later. The people who are visiting our congregations may be seekers or they may be lifelong disciples. Either way, in the text for today from Matthew, Jesus wants us to welcome them as we would welcome Christ himself. These are just some examples of the power of welcoming, but there's a problem. For our natural inclination is to be friendly to our old friends and not truly and genuinely incorporate new folks into our circle. That pattern's as old as the human race. We continue to be friendly with our old friends, and often unconsciously we scream out other new people from our friendship circle. It happens in schools, and it happens in churches. It happens in Bible study groups. It happens in worship all the time. And by coming among us, these people are often disciples of Jesus who are seeking a new community, a new church, a new place where they can continue to grow in Christ. And what are some of the rewards or blessings of being a genuinely welcoming community? But there are so many. Adults begin to offer their skills in Christian service through the church. New children begin coming to creche or Sunday school. They make new friends and they grow up as little disciples of Jesus Christ who then become mature adult disciples. In Alpha or Christianity Explored groups, people find a small community of friends to discuss religious questions with. In worship, our services are transformed with all the new people who come and feel welcome. Young people in Sunday school grow up to be mature young adults in Christ. And it's such a blessing to be part of a group Bible study where you care and share honestly and personally, where you can grow in Christ. It's such a blessing when new people bring vitality into our worshipping community. Then a couple of weeks down at Petrievi Primary, we'll have an opportunity to welcome children and adults into our worship time. And we'll be welcomed into their holiday club time. Jesus said, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Welcoming. It can be said and done in so many ways. Welcome. Velkommen. Valkommen. Welcome. Welcome. Let's pray.